You're listening to Connecting Faith. We had a great conversation with Joanne Pittman just a few minutes ago talking about the church in China. Dwight Nordstrom has 30-plus years experience doing business in China. In fact, he went to China specifically to find ways to use business as mission. And in this little bit of conversation from an earlier interview, we talk a bit about how effective it is to go to China to do business and to share Christ.
It's similar to what Christians should be in the workplace today. I mean, you need to contribute a value added to your company. Otherwise, the company shouldn't have you. I mean, there should be a positive balance there and sort of those payments and services to the company. So we don't receive any nonprofit financing, but so we have been profitable. But additionally, we have to really make sure we're accountable to seeing local house churches started and seeing disciples made. And so we measure both of those. And if one or both of them are not happening, we've closed the business or exited the business.
And maybe you can talk a little bit more about the kind of guidelines that determine, I mean, how are house churches started? How are Bible studies begun?
Well, you know, normally within a factory, let's say we have a factory, we start up and we have 200 people. We may have 80 of those people that would be engineering graduates, so they're typically highly technical. Normally, we would like to get those people to get together. We allow them if they want to come. Normally, less than 1% that come to our operations have ever even seen a Bible. And so we offer, okay, guys, we're going to have a Bible study before work, at lunch hour, after work. You're welcome to come. You don't have to come. And rather, they want to improve their life. The Bible has some fantastic values for improving the quality of what you do, not to lie, not to steal, to live a good moral life in and outside of the workplace, to not be jealous of others. I mean, socialism at its heart is sort of stopping the high performers from achieving that, from jealousy, things of that nature, not to backslander, not to kill. And from that, normally within 6 months, most of our people seeking to improve come to a point of saying, well, now, I understand these, but how do you actually live these? How do you actually, the power to live them? And of course, that's what the Holy Spirit gives us.
Are there areas of maybe Christian principles or values that run into conflict in a foreign environment? So, you know, government leaders or whatever. I mean, where are the conflict points?
Sure. And, you know, first of all, the integration of business and faith is a tension, but it is a positive tension that exists any place where a Christian goes. So whether one's in Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever, or one's in China. I've had startup operations in Argentina and Indonesia, the stans of Central Asia. You're going to face what I call differences, but it's still my number one commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's clearly revealed some principles in the Bible, and now I apply them in my life. And also I've got the Holy Spirit to guide me. And of course, be part of a local church fellowship, et cetera. Some of the challenges that are more prevalent in China is, frankly, corruption. Mm-hmm. Corruption exists. The list of, I could tell you, you know, people I've known who are chairmen, these would be Westerners, overseas Chinese who've, you know, taken their U.S. company, Motorola, Lucent, on, you know, I could go on. And basically, they got caught up in the cycle of corruption that exists there to get business. And you need to have a zero tolerance for corruption. And corruption at the end of the day is not efficient. It hurts many, many people. And you need Jesus and you need accountability to be able to not do that. And there are some industries that simply you have to choose not to go into for that.
You know, it was interesting. I was thinking before we got together about, is there a tension that you have to sort of manage between profits and pursuing advancing God's kingdom? Because you say, you know, business, you know, can be profitable, and that can be pretty attractive. And you say, well, maybe it's, if I was just more profitable, I could do more. So,
right,
you, I mean,
right.
There's a tension there.
There's absolutely a tension. What you want to live is you want to live in that healthy tension. Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen, I have worked most of my life at 55 plus hours a week, but I also set limits on that. I don't go to the 75 or 80 on you know, some of the venture, you know, investment banks or others. I also have to listen back to my wife and my two kids. But everyone faces the tension of how do you do a variety of functions that's called in my responsibility as a husband, as a dad, as an owner, to my shareholders. To my technology partners, to my friends. So I would say the first thing is you look up and say, in that tension, am I doing something? So, for instance, I cannot lie. I cannot misrepresent in my workplace. And you know, I was thinking coming here going, well, this, you know, the one guy just let it go. And it's very easy to say buyer beware. But come on, if you're going to sell your house, it's not buyer beware. Now, you know, the Bible says disclose and be somebody. You want to have partnerships. I will tell you the most profitable businesses we've had, they're long term, and profit happens because we do a good job. We do a good service. We have a high quality. It's not that we just sort of defraud somebody short term.
Yeah. Is there, I guess the second question is how do you define success? Is success determined by the spreadsheet?
Partially, yes. I mean, for us, at the end of the day, business has to make, I will not continue. We've shut down businesses that were successful from a great commission, but we lost $3.5 million on it in electronics. We bought an old Flextronics factory and tried for 5 years to do a turnaround. We weren't successful. At some point, you say, I've got to shut it down. And okay, there was 100 people plus that lost their jobs in that. Did we do our best? I go looking back upon it, I could have made some smarter decisions for technology partnership, for certain customers that I should have chosen and some that I should not have chosen in the electronics test and assembly business. But you've got to accomplish both. We've had others that were successful from a business, and it was just like pulling teeth to see Bible study started, and we exited those. And I'll tell you, it's not that there's one on the other. So I think where you're at in your life, if you're, you know, at points of inflection, decision-making, both have to happen, and they want to be a positive tension. If you're having consistently negative tension, I'd say it's probably time to look at a change.
Is the business itself a mission? Because you're providing jobs or employment or betterment of life for
people.
Oh,
yeah. So let's talk. Many people consider business as mission. I mean, historically, what happened in the restricted access countries, the socialist, communist countries, the Islamic countries, missionaries who were professional missionaries, full-time there, receiving support, which is great, would sort of set up a fake business. That is not the core today of businesses' missions. And there may be appropriate times for that, but businesses' missions where it is most effective is where they're viable businesses that are attracting people that want to have change and they're long-term. So you need both. You know, I could tell you now, having started, well, been part of over 40 startups, but invested in 24, and most were startups, some were acquisitions. There are a few principles of you got to get the right people on the bus. You've got to have enough technology lead to stop Me Too's coming in. You know, if you don't have that technology, that barrier to entry, you've got to understand your marketplace and be close to the customer. If you do those and you know, capital's the last, if you have enough, you need to have, again, you don't want something that's just a small investment of, you know, couple thousand dollars, but you want to have enough critical mass to scale it. So we look at operations with 50 or more employees.
The work that's done in China is reaching those that don't know the Lord, of which there are, as I think you said, one out of what your employees is 1%?
Entering, coming in, 1% would have seen a Bible and heard about Jesus. Typically, within about 5 years, we'll see anywhere from 10 to 20% of our employees become Christian. That's up to them. Yeah. But the Lord's moving wonderfully. You know, you've had just a China, 1980, maybe 10 million Christians, and now best estimates, plus or minus 20%, 100 million. Arguably the greatest awakening within Christian history.
Talking about the church in China today and some of the ways that the church is growing in China, and Dwight Nordstrom is doing it through mission, through business. Business as mission, BAM, is, you can find books on it. If you do some Google search on business as mission, a lot to be said there. Dwight is, he is chairman of PRI. It's a U.S. manufacturing holding company with 20-plus equity investments in China, and has a great story to tell. We'll actually hear more from Dwight here in a few weeks. I have an updated conversation with him that we'll share with you. If you missed part of today's conversation with Dwight or our earlier conversation with John Pittman, we post all those interviews on the Connecting Faith show page. So you can listen to them again. You can share them with a friend because all the material is shareable. So check it out. If you go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page, You can find the podcast archives there. And Ted, I guess, thinking about Dwight Norsom talking about technology. Technology, a lot of folks listening on the app.
That's a great way to take
us with you wherever you go.
Just heard this morning from somebody in Indiana getting advantage out of that. It's free to search for Faith Radio Network at iTunes or Google Play. It's Faith Radio Network, the free Faith Radio app. Really nice.
Thanks again for listening to Connecting Faith. And speaking of technology, you can always make a gift online. Our fall share coming up here in just a little over a week. You can go to myfaithradio.com to find out more.